Welcome to XV1. For critical review with brief reaction, is Jordan Maxwell Israel swastika connection? And the brief reaction is, I guess, sort of two arguments. One, who told it best? Who figured it out best? And I would argue that the elite, elect, leaders, rulers would claim they figured it out best, because I'm under the impression there's an electrical Emmanuel component to the Bible, encoded, that literally takes man out of the dark through electricity, elite, elect, electricity, with the oil component of taking oil from God, from earth. I would look at God as everything, the collection of everything. And then more channeled, focused. Like, is the sun the ultimate side of God? Is the oil and Mother Earth the ultimate side of God? The soil and the soul and the SOI9L, the SO6L, and the SOU3L. Our second argument to that would be, if objective morality is broken through the initiation of murder, rape, assault, coercion, willful deception, trespass, stealing the property, it's all stealing the property. If objective morality, aka universal law, aka the truth and the light, a property birthright, if that is violated and then it's unowned, it's gone, it hasn't, a serpent has not repented, serpent repent, the loser has not resold, the loser has not resol, serpent repents. If there's been violation and it's gone unowned, unchecked, unaccounted for, it just sours everything. So who actually did it? Electricity goes back, discovery of electricity goes back over 2,600 years. Who actually figured it out and took the whole world out of the dark? Euro-America, basically. But then is it all soured? Is it all soured because objective morality has been broken, continues to be broken, and is going unchecked? Is going unchecked, ruthless. So here's Jordan Maxwell.
And so there's the four Hebrew letters that is called the Tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton. And so most people know what Tetragrammaton means. It's the four letters for the Hebrew God, which is an abbreviation. Well, look at the word Tetragrammaton. It's tetra, which is four, gramma, which is a letter, like A, B, C, D, tetra, four, letter as gramma, and aton, A-T-O-N, tetragramma aton. Aton was the Egyptian sun god, and he rolled across heaven. And the ancient Egyptian mysteries, religion, they talk about the Aton. Well, the Aton in Germany was symbolized by the swastika. The swastika is, everybody pretty well knows, the sun is a sun symbol. The swastika is the sun as it rolls across sky, as it rolls across the sky. And so the swastika represents the Aton. Well, so does the, it's a sun symbol. Well, of course, in the synagogues, you have, the Jewish God, and he's inside the sun symbol, and it's called the Tetragramma Aton. And then you say, well, wait a minute, what's the connection between the Jewish God and the swastika? Well, if you go to Israel, there are synagogues that have on the floor of these synagogues. I didn't do it. I'm just telling you. If you go to Israel, there are synagogues which have on the floor as you walk in big, huge swastikas. And so you ask the question, what are the Jews doing with putting swastikas on the floor of their synagogues? Well, we're not supposed to answer that. Besides, we're not even supposed to see it. It's not important. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. But once you understand, wait a minute, there's something going on between the Jewish religion, the Nazi party, the German people, and today Israel. And then when you go back and look at the, you know, the history of where the ancient peoples came from and what their worship of the sun was, oh my God, we could go on for hours about this, but there, I'm just bottom line telling you that there is a connection between Judaism, Nazism, the swastika, and the tetragramma Aton, all being the sun god of ancient Egypt. And this is a far bigger story than you even begin to suspect.
Well, what's amazing to me, Jordan, about that is that you're talking about Yahweh, you're talking about the sun god, you're talking about, but you know what's fascinating is that I am rather confused as I objectively attempt to read what they call their scripture. Because I see mentions and references that look to me like Baal worship or Baal worship, B-A-A-L. I see Azeroth represented in their scriptures. I see other gods represented in what they are calling their scriptures. I brought up two, you brought up one, or two just now. It seems to me as though there is a composite of many.
Judaism itself has seven parts to Judaism, seven different parts to Judaism. And there's seven different religions made into one during the Middle Ages. They took seven different ancient religions and wove them together and put them together and called it today Judaism. But most Jews are not aware of that. And most people in the world are not aware that Judaism is nothing more than an amalgamation of seven different ancient prehistoric and ancient religions that have been molded into one. And so that's a whole story in itself. One of the ancient religions is the worship of the moon. That's one of the oldest religions connected to Judaism, is the worship of the moon god. The moon god in the ancient world, in the ancient Arabic world, ancient Egypt, there was a moon god. And today, that moon god is still part of what we call the Judaism today. And that moon god was called, if you look it up in a dictionary, Encyclopedia of Religion, you will find that the moon god of the ancient Arabic world was called Sin, S-I-N. Not that you've done something bad and you committed a sin. No, that was the name of the moon god, S-I-N. Look it up in the dictionary. Sin, and it will tell you, was an ancient Arabic moon god. Today, Sin is referred to as Allah, the moon god. But originally, the moon god in Arabia was called Sin. And so this is why today the Jews go to synagogue, because the synagogue is the house of worship of the god Sin, the moon god. And so we know that the Jews today have a lunar calendar based on the moon. And so, you know, we say that there's tribes of Israel. Well, the Native American tribes also count their days from the mini moons, not suns, but mini moons.
Well, right. And the thing is that what's interesting here about tonight's presentation is that this is the foundation upon which we are told Christianity is built, right? That is the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. And it's only because this happened after this that, that we have, you know, this point of reference. And I think that, in understanding what has actually happened in the development of Christianity, you must take a look at the alleged foundation for it. And that is the Old Testament. That is the Torah. That is, right? So.
Yeah, but I've been saying that for, you know, for years. And all I'm getting is just people looking like a deer in the headlights. I'm trying to explain to you. Nothing just popped in out of nowhere. Everything has a history. And so go back and look at the history of the Jewish religion. And I can, you know, I can tell you some stuff about the Jewish religion that'll shock you. But I am totally sure, this is my idea, but I've been doing this for many years. I'm totally sure, beyond the shadow of a doubt for myself, I've got all the proof I need. And I can present it to you in the next time we do 2 hours, all the proof to show that there was, in actual fact, historically, no ancient Judaism, period. There was no ancient Israel, never existed. Period. End of sentence. It never, ever existed. There was no Abraham. And all three major religions say that they are Abrahamic religions. Well, if they're all Abrahamic religions, they're all killing each other. So that should tell you something about Abraham. All three religions are murdering each other. World wars are being fought between the three major religions that claim Abraham. And then we find out there was no Abraham. Abraham never existed. Abraham and Judaism and the whole of Judaism and the worship of Abraham goes back to Hindu. Christianity, Judaism, and Islam are Hindu religions. And there's a lot of the ancient Egyptian thrown in there, but basically Christianity and Judaism are a Hindu religion. The Hindus had it first, and they still have it today. And so in India, the highest ranking priests are called Brahmins because their god, the ultimate god of the Hindu, is called Brahman. And so you have Brahmins, and then the Brahmin priesthood will tell you that they are a chosen priesthood, that they are referred to as God's chosen people, and they are a Brahmin. And so you put an A in front of it, it becomes a Brahmin. An a Brahmin, because originally Abraham was not called Abraham, he was called Abram. Abram became Abraham. Well, Abram is A-B-R-A-M, Abram, Abram. Father is Ab, A-B is father, and Ram was the ram god of Egypt. The ram god represented the constellation of Aries, Aries the ram. So the worship of Aries the ram was Abram. A-B-R-A-M, Abram, or Father Ram. And so in India, you have Abram or Abraham. No, it's not Abraham. It's Brahman with an A, Abraman. And there was a goddess that was directly connected to the Brahman religion. Her name was Saraswati. And so you have Abram and Sarah. Abram and Sarah, or Abraham and Sarah. No, it's Abram and Saraswati. It's Hindu. It goes back into an ancient, dark religious history thousands of years ago. But today, we don't care about that. That's all a bunch of nonsense. We don't care about that. We are the followers of Abraham. That's why we kill and rape and have pornography and child sacrifice. And, you know, and then we see what's going on in the Catholic Church with the pornography and the boy stuff. And then we find out that it's okay for a 40-year-old or 50-year-old man to marry a little 8-year-old girl. And they have child marriages all over the Middle East. And then you find out in the Torah or in the Talmud, especially in the Talmud, there's all kinds of stuff about sexual connection between men, grown men, and 4 and 5 and 6 year old girls, etc. It's just complete with that. There's a lot of stuff out there talking about how if a man has sex with an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, it is not considered immorality at all. It's only natural and normal, and nobody gets hurt. And right. So then you find out the same thing is believed about the altar boys. And why are they called altar boys? Because they're putting the boy on the altar, just like Abraham put his son on the altar to kill him.
Right.
I'm just telling you that there's a world of knowledge that's been hidden, and the word hidden in Latin is occult. Occult means hidden. So there's a world of occult knowledge about religion, government, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. The whole world is lying in the power of a dark, sinister, and evil force that's been around for tens of thousands of years. And mankind is still crawling on his knees, kissing the ring of the Pope and kissing the ring of the Godfather. And people are killing each other because of their belief systems, and nobody seems to know what's going on.
Well, and that's
what a world we live in.
And that's the saddest part of it, is that they don't recognize what the foundation is built upon. Today, the ram's horn is still blown, you know, to signify certain things.
The shofar is blowing the ram's horn.
And, you know, this is just some of the resonant evidence of some of what's gone on here. Ares is the god of war, depending on where it is you read about him. And
well, and then what about the Jews worshiping the golden calf?
The
golden calf is actually Taurus, the bull, the constellation of Taurus, the bull. And the Taurus, the bull, represents the sun in the sky in the age of Taurus. And so the Taurus is the sun in the age of Taurus, and so it becomes the golden is the sun, golden calf. The calf is Taurus, the bull. And so what's the next constellation after Taurus, the bull, if it isn't Aries, the ram? So the Jews were worshiping the golden calf. Well, now today they're worshiping Aries, the ram. So they're blowing the ram's horn. And
right.
Then after Aries, the ram, what comes next? Pisces. Pisces is the two fish. And so that's interesting, too, is the two fish. Well, the Israel, about 5 years ago, had a big news story that said that they found the oldest church ever built in the world today. The oldest Christian church ever built was found in Israel in an area called Megiddo. Megiddo has today the oldest church ever found, Christian church, and it's in Megiddo, Israel. And what did they find on the floor of this oldest church that Israel and everybody agreed, America and England, everybody agreed, it's the oldest church ever done, first one ever done. And what is in the middle of the floor but the two fish of Pisces? And now we're getting ready to go into the new age of Aquarius. I'm telling you, nobody seems to have figured out how this dark system of world government, world religion, banking, international monetary systems, the industrial military complex. My God, there's a world of knowledge. People just don't know.